Y'all. You don't have to make fun of me, AMAC, every chance you get, but that's okay. If you want to, you know, belittle me, that's all right. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. 47 minutes after the hour. Let me correct a mistake I made. Angel Reese, I mentioned coming off an awful game, and somebody pointed it out on Twitter that she wasn't. A rational fan at RC_fan91. I saw the wrong thing. I saw a stat line on Instagram from somebody who clearly wanted to expose Angel Reese, and it was like 2 points and like, so my bad. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's hard to keep up with everything. She's been great. She had a moment recently. I don't know, remember which game. Ooh, brutal. All right, joining us right now is our guy Ben Strober. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ben Strober Media, as part of the 106.7 Team 980 crew here. Mr. Strobes, appreciate you. How are you?
I am doing well.
Let's get your microphone up. Sorry, I forgot to lift up the lever.
We're good. I'm doing well, Rooster. Appreciate you having me on. It's a good day here in the district. A lot to talk about.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on, besides Wizard Summer League, which we'll get to in a sec, is you called the Cape Cod Summer League games last year of national second round pick Ethan Petrie. Big power hitter, South Carolina. He won the league MVP of the Cape Cod League. And now he's the national second round. And I was just pointing out, it's kind of ironic because they bypassed a big power bat in Ethan Holiday. And a lot of people are kind of like wondering why for Eli Willits. Well, then they go and get the power bat in Ethan Petrie.
Yeah, and this is a situation where they're also able to use him as a guy they probably underslot here with the 49th pick, and they've taken some notable high school guys, prep guys, in the next couple of rounds, guys that project really well, high-ceiling players, and they'll be able to overslot pay those guys. So they save money with the first two picks they made, and Petrie is a premium that the Nats have been looking for a while. They're definitely in need of a first baseman long-term and somebody with pure power. And getting to call his games last year for the Yarmouth-Dennis Red Sox, this dude just has unbelievable raw power, especially to the pole side. And he's not just a power hit. I know that's a lot of the rap that he'll get, but this is a guy that can hit well for average, gets on base with high efficiency. I think he was over 1,000 OPS in his career at South Carolina, slugged over 700.
Right. Not just a power hitter. Exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, the power tool is what the Nats are specifically looking for because they have lacked that now really for years, especially at first base.
And it's a power game. I mean, we see it all the time. Not that baseball is boiled down to hit a home run or strike out, but for a lot of guys, it's become really about that. And we know it's exit velocity, launch velo, all that stuff. But to your point, they haven't had a masher, a guy who can change around a game with one swing of the bat. James Wood can, but James Wood, I think, is a much, much more advanced player than just a masher. Sure, he can hit the long ball. Yes, he hits left-handers. Yes, he hits the all opposite. But he's a much, probably, more well-rounded player than Ethan Petrie is probably going to be. And I'm not trying to cut him short. When at the Cape Cod League, how would you describe the level of competition there? That is some of the best what?
It's the best of the best college baseball players. I mean, if you look across the board of who's been taken, especially in the early rounds of this draft, a ton of the pitchers pitched there on the Cape Cod Baseball League. Ethan Petrie, his freshman year at South Carolina, he took Paul Skenes deep, and then they instantly drug tested him the next day. That's a real story, by the way. But that's the best competition. You are facing elite MLB-level prospects, guys that are coming off their first or second year in college.
Great little nugget there, Strobes.
It's hilarious.
You sure about that?
That's what he told me. I'm telling you verbatim what he told me.
Okay.
But getting to know a lot of those players, the people that have aspirations, you really get a feel for who is super serious, who's the most motivated. Ethan Petrie struck me as one of those guys. He would be one of the first people at the field every single day, taking extra swings in the cage. And you know, he was so friendly to us broadcasting the games. When he would struggle or whatever, he would come up to us and tell us exactly what he thought was wrong with the swing, what he was trying to work on. He's a guy that lives and breathes baseball for the most part, and he just has a lot of fun while doing it. He got to play a variety of positions with our team. He was primarily an outfielder in college, and he did the same thing in the summer, but he had told me that he was going to be a pro-level player playing first base instead of the outfield. He kind of projects, to me, a great player comp if you reach the full ceiling that you want out of Ethan Petrie is a guy like Pete Alonso.
That was a comp that a lot of people had. Yeah.
Very similar build, play at first base, and just mashes the baseball, can change a game with one swing.
Listen, if the Nationals got Pete Alonso in the second round last night, you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
You can do a lot worse than that. How long is the Cape Cod League, and how, you already talked about how aware he was of what he was doing, right, wrong, whatever, where he was at, and accountable. How many games is that? Is it? Because I don't know a whole lot. I mean, I hear the Cape Cod League all the time, but I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, I'll break it down. It's 40 games summer. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys.
So you get a good feel.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys also will not be there the whole summer because it usually starts while the regionals and super regionals are still going. And South Carolina the year before was in the regional. And Ethan Petrie actually broke his finger in the regional. He played through it. And then once the season was over, he took about 2 weeks off to heal before he came up and joined us. So he played about 30 games. So that's a pretty significant sample size to see what he was able to do. And from the get-go, just watching him swing and batting practice, it was like an absolute spectacle. You're like, my God, this dude is powerful.
He can hit to the opposite field, too, and right center and all that, right?
Yep. He's got power, especially to the pole side, but he can take the ball the other way. Hits for average the other way pretty well. He's been known to pluck the ball in the gap in right center field. And for a guy his size, he's not slow. Like, he's got good enough speed where, you know, he can make a difference on the base paths. He's not going to be a liability out there running the bases. I'll tell you that right now.
All right. Good little lowdown from somebody who has called, you know, many games of Ethan Petrie, the national second round pick. Our guy Ben Strober, part of the 106.7 and T980 family here at Ben Strober Media on Twitter and X. All right. So one of the other reasons why we wanted to have you on just for a couple of minutes here before the top of the hour is the Wizards Summer League. Impressive last night. They lost on Friday night. Who cares? But you know, clearly Trey Johnson has been a buzz guy, and you would expect that as the number six overall pick. What stood out to you last night amongst the many things that stood out, I think?
Alex Saar protecting the rim. I know that's been the best part of his game, even from his rookie season while he was still working on his offensive development. And there were at times last night early on in the game, to me, where Alex Saar maybe pressed a little bit. And they were making a conscious effort to try to get him the ball and get him going because he was pretty much non-existent in the first half in the game on Friday against Phoenix. And then he kind of padded his stats a little bit toward the end of the contest. Once he picked it up after kind of a slow start yesterday, because there are just a couple instances where I see Alex Saar around the rim, and maybe he lacks a little bit of coordination or something that could help him out. He just sometimes doesn't go up strong enough. But the second half, he was excellent. I thought he played confidently. I thought he played strong. And the way he's able to help from the weak side as a defender, because the big rap about Alex Saar is that he probably fits in as the four instead of the five long-term here at Washington. And if you are playing the four, you primarily will have him sometimes playing off the weak side. He's able to come over and be disruptive. I know Drew Timmy, I don't even know how old he is, but it seems like he's like 30 years old. He's not.
I would be willing to bet 38. I'm just teasing.
Well, once
Timmy, I mean, he's got that porn mustache, you know.
Once Timmy got his shot stuffed and Saar had his seventh block, I believe, he is a threat down there. There were a couple instances where guys would get around the paint and they'd see Saar right there coming, and they'd elect to dribble the ball back out or pass it. He is that kind of player that has an intimidation factor to him around the rim. He could have had double-digit blocks if there were a couple of opportunities where guys actually did decide to shoot the ball, but wisely they did not do it.
All right, quickly before the top of the hour, before we run out of time here, Will Riley looked good last night, the second first-round pick. As well, I mean, obviously, Trey Johnson, I had that crazy dribble off the dude's leg the other night. he had a couple of off-balance threes. I mean, it looks every bit the part. I know the level of competition is what it is. Nobody's putting him in the Hall of Fame, but your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Trey Johnson, honestly, to me, I've probably seen enough. He looks comfortable, he looks calm, and he looks just poised as a scorer at this level, and he is great with the basketball in his hands, and you know, you depart Jordan Poole this offseason. I think Trey Johnson instantly kind of slots in exactly as a similar type of player, a guy that you give the ball and say, we need a bucket, Trey. He will get you those opportunities. And I wouldn't be frustrated. I wouldn't be mad at all if they did want to see him play one more game, maybe with some of the other backup players that probably won't be playing in the regular season. Because I'm pretty sure, like, Bob, Keyshawn, and Saar probably done after game two from what we were hearing from a lot of the reporting before the summer league. But Trey Johnson absolutely just looks the part so far. And What we've seen defensively from him, too, is very impressive, because that's been the one negative aspect to his game that people talked about coming out of Texas, was that he was not a very tenacious defender. He is out there flying around to the basketball. I think the perimeter defense from the guards, Carrington and Johnson, has looked really good. The effort has been excellent from those two defensively. And, you know, Trey said it after the game. You know, they don't care if I can score the basketball. They care if I play defense. And, you know, you love to see a guy who has learned that mentality already from the organization since getting here just a couple weeks ago.
Well, I think that's the DNA of what Will Dawkins wants to build here.
That's right.
Is exactly how they kind of built it in Oklahoma City. Defense first. Defense first gives you a chance. Ben Strober, appreciate you, my friend. Great job on the insight on Ethan Petrie, the national second-round pick. You called his games in the Cape Cod League last summer, so good insight there that ain't going to be anywhere else. And as well on the Wizards, Locked On Wizards. Make sure you check out the guys. Summer League action going on. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Russo.
That's
always
my guy, Ben Strober, with us here on the Team 980. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. We'll get back to the Nationals. We'll get back to Wizards Summer League next. Where did Jaden Daniels rank in ESPN's quarterback poll? That's next.